Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Big D, or The Big D, Season 1, Episodes 3 and 4. Now, Chris, where would you like to start today?
I'd love to say I've got a Big D, Dave, but I've been called a Big D.
There was a time when that was my nickname, but we shan't go into that, Chris.
Is that when you called it yourself from a certain angle? Or Many a time I thought, you know what? It's not bad, that. But then I'm like, no, don't fucking kid yourself, Chris. Anyway, Dave. I was going to say something that I'm not going to say. So let's not go down that route, Dave. Hey, the length, you know, you measure it against the Sky remote sometimes years ago, potentially. But let's just carry on with what we're carrying on with. Yeah.
Sounds good. I'm just staying quiet. I'm letting you tie yourself up.
Excel one day, the Excel remote, if I don't mind.
People
now checking the length of their Sky remote. But anyway, I bet you will now. But anyway,
I just don't want to use it. Can you pass me the remote, please? Oh, just a little bit.
I don't even know where to go from there. Right, stop it now. Just don't.
So Chris, Angelique. Right.
Yes.
Seamless segue there.
Yes.
So Angelique comes in, doesn't she? Do we call this the villa? Kind of is a bit of a villa, isn't it?
But yeah, I think
it's
so.
It's not a Love Island villa, but let's go ahead and call it a villa. So she comes in. She's an ex-Mormon. She was married very young. Come out of that whole religious background. What was your first impressions of Angelique?
Well, I thought Casey was a little bit wild, Dave, but I think Angelique's on another level. Even Casey was calling her out. I mean, she came in, I think, you know, Dean took a bit of a shining to her dinner. There was a bit of a chat, very brash. You know what I would say, Dave? I must admit, because this is 10 episodes and we're only on episode 3 and 4 as we're covering today, I've got that little bit of Love Island America season 1 feel to it, where that was a 4-week show as a bit of a test to see if they could compete with like the UK and the Aussie one. Mm. And then there was a bit where we just invested in the characters and then there was just a carousel of people just fucking getting voted off. And it's not as intense as that, but they've introduced a lot of people over episode 3 and 4, haven't they, for us to sort of get to try and relate to. I know obviously these people listening who've already watched it, but we get to that 10th episode. But I think it needs it because obviously we've got rid of a few people. So Angelique comes in because David's still left and Ian stuff and all that. Mm. Casey's there, obviously Brooks gone and all that. So you've got this. I just think, Dave, she's what we need in this show, if I'm being honest, because she basically doesn't give a fuck, really. You know what I mean? She's a wild, she said she's wild. She loves to party. She was in like relationship, and she talked briefly about the religion that she was brought up in, and so I think basically she's just revolted against that, hasn't she, and completely gone the other way. But I can tell with a lot of the characters, I'll give the casting people correct, every single person has got some terrible emotional baggage, which normally I'd call out as bad, but for the purposes of this show I think they've got a lot of the casting right with this one, because there's loads of people you just love to hate.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's probably, this is why I was looking forward to this one, because, you know, they probably bring the worst out in each other as well. This is not Love Island where everyone's on their best behavior for the first few weeks. And, you know, this is someone that they have loved deeply at one time in their life and then hated equally deeply at some other point. So yeah, there is so much baggage in there. I mean, you've nailed it there. I think Angelique, fucking hell, she just strikes me as someone who's missed out on a teenage and 20s years, and then it's like, fucking hell, I need to make up for this. And so, you know, a good addition to the Villa, I would say. And I do, she seemed to get on very well with Dean at first, didn't she? But I mean, by the end of this episode 4 in particular, she seemed to be more aligned with David, but also she's winding everyone else up in the Villa. So, you know, that's a brilliant, brilliant character to have in, you know, something like this.
She is, and I do love the little fishnet curtains you've got up where everyone can see what's going on. So when she is with Dave,
weird, don't you
it
think?
Is weird. I thought we were going to get a bit of a voyeur type thing here. I'm thinking, hang on a minute, is everyone going to watch you have a little beer? Because it was very sexual, wasn't it? She was doing like some mad dancing at one point. Then she's like, you know, putting a bit of aloe vera after sun on him, isn't she? And all the other girls are like, because I think, what's she called? Ariel. Ariel has sort of took a fancy to him, but that it's a little bit too late, because obviously she sort of cleared the Blair thing up eventually in episode 3. But then she was getting a bit jealous. I think Casey was, because there seems to be a little triangle of Angelique, Casey, and David are in the gym at the same time. He's weird. He seems to be more the catch, whereas I would have thought Blair would have been the catch. If you're looking for looks, obviously David's probably got the better personality. The ladies know him better than we do. You can on the show, but yeah, Dave, I'm here for the fucking fun and games.
I'm loving it. I think you're right about the Love Island season 1 USA comparison to some respect, because that was 4 weeks, wasn't it? So at the time, UK was 6 weeks, I think. God bless that time. Not fucking 2 months. But it just felt like you couldn't properly invest in the characters. But I am liking this format, I have to say, just because it's straight into it and things are happening very quickly. It's not like Love Island fucking winter season where we had to wait 30 episodes for something to happen. I'm liking this very fast-paced thing. And, you know, Ariel in particular has come off badly, hasn't she? Because she got voted out on that second run. It seemed to be a toss-up between her and Ariel and Angelique. But ultimately, the fact that Angelique has gone, well, she was full-on for Dean at one point, but then she's full-on for David. I think she probably had shown more, whereas Ariel was seemingly trying to get back with Blair for most of her time. And then it seems they had a bit of a clear the air time moment, and she was sort of ready, but wasn't ultimately aggressive enough in going after David. And so God bless people with dad bods, Chris.
Hail the dad bod, babe. Hail the dad bod. You know, I want to ask you, I was reading some articles as well today about Blair, but it was stuff about like him being a bit of a gaslighter, different things. Now, I'm not saying he isn't, but because their relationship, he cheated on her and obviously really knocked her confidence, put her probably as low as she could feel. She's a really good looking girl. And that he's just not right for her. And he even said it, didn't he? Like threw under the bus, like you need to move on, enjoy yourself. And she was dead upset at the end of episode 2. But I've not seen that. And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm just not, I'm seeing it from a guy's perspective. I'm obviously, you know, with a lot of female listeners, maybe, you know, call me out, but I've not seen what some of the articles have said about him. I don't know if you've picked up on that.
Well, I think he's definitely got the warning signs. I mean, I have to say, Chris, not only has he got a good body, but his arms are grossly out of proportion with the rest of his body. Yep. You know, when someone like hits the gym a lot and they've got a good body, it's usually all fairly well proportioned, but he's obviously done mostly arms for his whole life. But I don't know. I think he has been showing warning signs. I mean, he was getting quite angry with Ariel, but you can kind of say, well, these guys are divorced. They're not the only one, are they? There's other couples. I mean, almost every couple that's got angry with each other. But I thought it was more of a warning sign where he was talking to Angelique and, you know, he was basically telling her to stop being a B-word. Yeah. And, you know, he was quite aggressive about it as well. And I thought, well, you still don't really know this person Fair play if you're going to say, well, that person's not there, I'm not going to discuss them, and then take yourself off and out of that conversation, fair enough. But I thought he was quite aggressive and kind of unsavory in that moment there. So yeah, I don't know. Who knows what he's really like? I think that it's like all of these shows, they've got their kind of front, and we can see little clues about what the real person is. But yeah, I think there are warning signs with him.
You know what? I forgot about that one where he went mad there. So yeah, that's probably where that article was. I'd not seen his interaction with Ariel, but it's funny, you know, because when David was talking to Ariel and Gillian, fucking hell, she went then, didn't she? Wow. And they had a fucking barney, you know what I mean? And he was like, he seems quite level. So if Blair's the one in his and Ariel's relationship, and that makes sense. And I think in David and Gillian's, it's Gillian. She was just not buying any of it. She's a bit like what Thakur is like with Dee Dee, you know, like completely jealous. Like you said, I thought what you said in the last episode was right. There's somebody in the relationship wants to get back with the other, but the other's just like, nah, I'm good. Yeah. So it's interesting because when Blair and Ariel had a chat, that was quite intense. But when David and Gillian had a chat, why the fuck didn't they have this chat when they were together? They literally cleared the air like that at the end of it. It was just weird. It was like, did you not discuss it before you just filed for divorce? At least try. It's like they've not even tried.
Yeah. You know what came across to me in that conversation? Not the penny drop, but it kind of emphasized the point that they just stopped listening to each other or giving a shit about how the other person felt. That's what I took away from that. Because Gillian was giving it all, I went here and you weren't there for me and it was terrible for me and me. And not for a moment did she ask, and it didn't seem like he'd asked from his side either. Although, you know, who knows what actually happened. She was talking about being in a bad place and everything like that. But I don't know how to say this, Chris, because it's possibly not going to come off like the most kindest thing in the world, but if someone is going through a really rough time, right, you always want to be there for them you know, try and support them. But that is not an infinite cup of energy that you've got yourself. So yes, you have to look after yourself as well. You can't just, you know, if someone's like a fucking nightmare to be around, you can't just say, oh, they're going through a bad time. You know, that's fine. It doesn't impact me at all, because it fucking does impact you. So it struck me that, so my reading of it was Gillian was going through a really rough time, was probably not great to be around. David probably stuck it out for a bit, could say probably should have stuck it out for longer, but for whatever reason, he felt he had to take his self out of that situation, and then it seemed like they just never communicated again. But I still think it, you know, if you boil it down to the simplest things, they just stopped listening to each other or empathizing with how the other person felt.
Yeah.
And because like you say, this is not solving the Middle East crisis. This is like a fairly straightforward thing to do. But, you know, it's taken them as you're going through divorce, and he's moved on. And you do find that sometimes people just completely move on, and then the other person's like sat there in a bitter stewing rage. So, yeah, I think, to be honest, Gillian got voted out. I think it was the right call. I didn't see her making an effort with anyone else. She was on there to try and get back with David, but, you know, he's moved on. So, you know, this would probably help her to close that door and then move on herself.
Yeah, I think so. I agree with that. I think it was the right one. And obviously Mims as well got voted off. I realize they call him Mims because you've had two Davids on the show. So that's obviously.
I realize that as well.
But yeah, Mims went, because obviously his wife had got booted off the episode before, and it was basically wasn't talking or interacting was the line. I think that's right. And I think with Alexis and Devon, you know, it was the dance thing, and he was quite sweet about it, wasn't he? He'd done a bit of dancing, and she wasn't happy. And then eventually he's like, I can't. Was it paragliding or something she's always wanted to do? And he's like, I've got to do it with her. And that like won her over.
Wasn't it the horse riding or
that
something?
That was it, horse riding. Yeah, whichever. But that worked. And you were like, oh, great. But fast forward to the next episode. Oh, my God. these all things we've not seen about their relationship, about him. And you know, I think Dr. Jada was called Dave. But yeah, there was stuff we'd not seen, and that's obviously what's one of the issues was with them.
Yeah. I thought it was great.
Yeah, me too. I loved it.
Just because it was such a fucking stupid nonsense thing, wasn't it? But it just escalated and escalated, and neither of them would back down. She wanted her eggs doing a certain way. He's like, I'm sat here, I'm fucking doing the eggs. Just, you'll get them how you're given. I was like, yeah, I don't know. I could kind of see both sides here, but you could see everyone else around was just really uncomfortable. And again, you know, you could tell they've just got a lack of, or just no tolerance for each other, because they've had this conversation before many times and they just piss each other off. So I guess, you know, David ended up speaking to someone about his anger issues and everything, but it seemed to me it was 50-50, that whole interaction.
Yeah, it's, and look, there's obviously love there between them, isn't there? You can see that there's something there, and by him saying, I can't go on that, you know, without you sort of thing, it sort of went around, and you could see she was turning, like I said, there's no one else, you know, she's interested in, but I with you, what you just said, I love that argument. That is a classic relationship argument that escalates from nowhere. You could be having the greatest day ever, and then something will happen. You say the wrong word, Dave, I've done it many a times, and next minute, it's full-on battle royale. You know, it's a full-on argument, or this, or I mostly, I'm just stood there going, I don't actually know what I've done, Dave, as a typical man would do, you know, but I just sort of got it. Samantha will listen to this, David, so I will say that I am wrong sometimes. I am aware that she will be listening to this. But it's true, isn't it? It just escalates sometimes. If you're just getting on each other's nerves or you've had a bad day, that's a real life situation, isn't it? You know, you've cut the fucking garlic too small, or you've done, not emptied the bin, or you've done something. There's always these little petty things that are about how to work through it. Or, but in my case, Dave, how to just completely ignore it and do the same thing over and over until she throws the bin at me and then I stop doing it, you know, like most men do. So, I'll have to hold my hands up there. I've had many disagreements like that.
Yeah, but I think in the first couple of episodes, we said this couple was probably the only couple that might rekindle something. But I think straight away, you know, he set his stall out. That's kind of what he wants. And you don't see them interacting with other people as well, do you? There's no kind of flirty banter going on with some of the other quote-unquote singles. So, you know, they do need to figure out how to communicate with each other without letting things escalate. I still don't know which side of the fence I'd have fallen on. You know, if I'm sat there, if I'm stood there making eggs for everyone, right, I'm not taking everyone's order and do it. I'm not Master Chef. So I would probably be on the rough end of it as well. So yeah, interesting couple. But Chris, we already thought this guy was going to be a bit of a tool. But what do you reckon to Thakur's, more so episode 3, where he just ended up getting hammered because Dee Dee and Blair had gone on a date? And I don't know if he'd been sat there drinking all day or what, but he just came across that way.
Fucking hammered. He was absolutely hammered. And when they came back from they should be together, Dee Dee and Thakur. What a wanker he is, Dave. But he was slurring, and I'm like, why hasn't anybody stepped in from production and let him? And I'm thinking, hang on a minute, I do call this out, like on Love Island, because they don't have a drink and everything. However, he went to the point where he was threatening physical violence one. He was like, I am going to punch him. You know, I'm going to knock him out.
I thought he was coming.
Yeah, I did. but then like, he goes off, and then you get the tears, then don't you? You get that aggression, and then the tears come out, and Casey's like, look, she's been getting on with him, but she's like, I can't deal with this. You know, she shouldn't have to deal with it. He fucking strange character he is. And the fact that he's the one who was cheating, he's the one who's a wanker, he very, very much like, I'll do what the fuck I want to get. I'll break you emotionally, but you're not allowed to do that to me. And they're not even together now, so he hasn't got any skin in that race. But what a knobhead he was. Great TV day. But I was genuinely thinking, then I'm looking at Blair thinking, Paco can't even stand. Even if he wanted to fight him, I don't think in the way he is at the moment, he could even throw a punch if he wanted to. So maybe that's why they weren't bothered. He was that caned. I think he just fell on the floor if he tried and throw the punch. But it was unusual.
He's a big lad, isn't he?
Oh, he's a unit. Oh, if he got hold of him, they'd be in trouble. But I thought maybe, you know, Blair could do a bit of bobbing and weaving, or he could be on his toes. He looks fit enough. Paco's not going to catch him anyways.
Yeah, I think he'd have to get a run on. I reckon he's more of a crossfitter, Blair, you know, doing his circuit training or whatever, whereas like fucking De Gore will just rugby tackle him or football tackle him to the ground. I think Thakur has got some real serious issues which require psychological help. I think all the cheating and stuff, I suspect, is probably, you know, relating to some issues that he has.
Yeah.
But, you know, the toxic environment that they have, and it had me wondering, I wonder how much Didi has actually put up before they got to the point where they're divorced. I wonder how much she's actually put up with him, you know, being hammered at gatherings and stuff, and then having to defend him. And like, because she's done hardly anything apart from have a couple of conversations with Blair and stuff, but she's the one almost doing an apology. And then he'll get really angry at some point in that conversation. He's like, oh, fuck you, and stuff like that. It's like, whoa, this is probably the most toxic character I think I've seen in any of the shows. And yeah, I thought he was going to get physical. Or like, you know, we wouldn't see much of it, but when they do the old fade to black and you know, cuts a scene, Blair's got a black eye or something. But yeah, he's definitely got some issues. But again, you almost feel like I think he needs to be booted off to let Didi just be herself, because at the minute she's not allowed to be herself because he's basically fucking there spying on whatever she's doing. And like you say, he's got no fucking moral ground to stand on, but that doesn't stop him trying to stand on it.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, how these people, and most people who are like that in the character, that's how they act, don't they? You know, it's just strange. Again, I'm fascinated by him as a character. He's in episode 4, Day. Oh, my God. He was even sat next to Blair like nothing had happened and joking with him.
Best mates,
yeah. You know, so I don't know. And there is something there with Casey. Obviously, they went on a date, but he's a very, very volatile person. And I think you're right. I think she needs to breathe. She's obviously trying to get away from this guy through her life. I've got a feeling he just won't leave her alone, Dave, despite what he's done to her, despite him probably enjoying it and having the time of his life and probably doing all sorts when they were married and everything. It's just my assumption. But I can guarantee that he always wants her there as his fallback when things go wrong. She's like the constant in his life that he probably doesn't deserve, to be honest.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think... Yeah, she needs properly rid of him. I was just wondering, as you were talking there, I wonder who wanted to go on the show. Like, usually there's one half who wants to go on the show, and then the other half is like, oh, okay, let's do it then. I wonder if it's Didi, or I wonder if it was Thakur.
Maybe it's Thakur. Maybe she's just chasing the fame, because I know Gillian said... When her and David were talking, she actually said, David said, it was your idea to come on here. She actually said that. That was in that, when they had that heart to heart and everything and sort of tried to smooth everything off before she left. But I don't know about the other couples. I really don't. I can imagine with Brooks and Casey, I would say probably Casey.
Yeah.
She looks like typical reality
TV. She'd have wanted to get him on just to get him to fuck off.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's just like, oh, come on, we'll. She's drunk the Kool-Aid of, let's get you on this show, divorce couples, and then I can help you find a mate. That will be her MO. I guess Didi, kind of, she does have that look, someone who probably has an Instagram page, probably has quite a lot of followers. So, yeah, I can buy that maybe it was her idea.
Yeah, Blair and Ariel's got me both, I think, together, definitely. And I think maybe that's why Gillian was kicking off Dave, because she's probably thinking, this was my fucking idea and I've been voted off before you. You know what I mean? Everyone likes you. Maybe
she was really not happy, was she?
No. But I am looking forward to the next episode, mate. It's been good, this again. It's just two episodes. As I said, the first episode, it's just 40-odd minutes to an hour, depending if you're watching the adverts. It's perfect reality TV to digest as well, and it's pretty good to get together. So now I'm really good. And if anybody is listening, Dave, and they've got a bit of free time tomorrow in the UK, or if you've got the BBC Sounds app, I will be representing the Chris and Dave's reality podcast, TV podcast, on BBC Radio Leicester, talking about the new reality show, Dave, My Mum, Your Dad, which I know was in Australia, which is the Love Island for middle age. So it has been filmed, 10 episodes. Not saying anything, just saying it's 10 episodes, Dave. And we'll be talking about that for our podcast, Dave. Just want to throw that one out there.
You know what I love is that you've said for years, like, oh, I fucking love reality TV. Just anything, I'll devour it. You stick any reality TV on. So the BBC are almost calling you out on it. It's like, right, are you watching this one? How about this? How about Britain's Got Talent? What about this one as well? What's your opinion?
This morning, this morning, representing the podcast, this morning, anyone who's not in the UK, he's like a sort of, well, fucking hell, it's better than a reality TV, what's been going on there for the last 6-7 months. But
I was going to say, we shouldn't probably go there.
Yeah, we shouldn't. How are you? Fuck off, Dave. Anyway, so that is sort of like, what would you call it? Like
it's like a breakfast show.
Yeah,
like
mid-morning.
Entertainment. Yeah, like Good Morning America, I think it is, isn't it? Is it Good Morning USA or something? They have similar things in the US.
Yeah, it's weird. It's anyway, it's a weird show. But yeah, I did get asked about that. And I'm like, about that, you know, major incident that's been all over the news. And I was like, what the fuck? One, can I say and not get myself all the podcasting trouble? But how can I be subjective? So be cancelled. Hi, this is the Dave Reality TV podcast. Yeah, you know, completely gone from the podcast. We don't talk about the C anymore. He's been booted off. He's been cancelled. So yeah, there's some crackers that I've talked about, Dave. But you've got to do it. I enjoy it, but it does put me under pressure then to think, don't go on there and blag it like you should do, Chris. You're going to have to do some research.
You're going to have to at least watch it. And that's what amuses me the most. But you're doing a sterling job there. You are doing better than a sterling job, because you've represented us well. But also, when they throw out a different reality TV show that you've got to watch... fucking has me chuckling for days, honestly.
Yeah. What about when I went on and I'm sat there and I thought we were just talking about Love Island and maths, didn't it? Because obviously the Channel 4 are up in there advertising. We haven't got a date yet, but I know that the cast has been released over on the socials. So it's coming. It's definitely coming in the next few weeks. But I was there talking about all, and all of a sudden, I got one of the shows I did. They promoted. They went, what about this one then, Chris? And then played a fucking clip of the fucking British Bake Off, which I have never watched. I'm furiously muting the mic, going on Google, typing away, going, because I always ask them what, you know, as you do, what we're going to talk about. Is there, like, you know, and sometimes they'll send you like a schedule of what, and they'll play different VT stuff. I swear to God, Dave, my arse fell out. I was just like, what the fuck? And I'm going, and I just do the presenters like Paul Hollywood, is it? Where I'm like, yeah, oh, great. Matt thing is so good. Since he's moved from the BBC, I was just completely doing a politician, generalizing, like where they're asking a question and I completely just like went around the houses and didn't even answer it. And went, anyway, see you later. Take care.
I always picture the guy on the BBC.
He's the best.
Pulled in. To be an expert, and it wasn't him. It wasn't the right person.
I thought you said that to me the other day, and the thing is, this is true. That guy's now lobbying the BBC. He wants royalties for that image over. He was a taxi driver or something, a chauffeur or something, and he ended up being like some expert, and he was just sat there going, I ain't got a fucking clue what's going on here. That's so funny.
I mean, good luck to him if that comes off. I don't know if it will, but I mean, surely he could have capitalized on that. I mean, he could have been as famous as like Howard on the Halifax, couldn't he? If he'd have promoted himself, he could have been doing the nightclub circuit. He could have been at least, you know, as popular as Messy Mitch or someone like that. So I think he could have made more of that. But honestly, one of my favorite TV moments ever.
No good. Anyone who's watching, please get on YouTube. I think it's like BBC Wrong Guest or something like that. It's had millions of views. It's just the, it's about 15 years old now. It's amazing how we walk through. But then again, I have a story, Dave, as you know.
But just before you get into the story, though, it just finishing off what you were saying there, the fact that that guy turned up, he got dragged in somehow, bizarre set of circumstances, ends up on camera, on the BBC, you know, and being filmed, you kind of assume that there's all this preparation and there's these people like... So when you go on to do the interviews, you assume, or I assumed initially, that you'd find out, right, we're going to play this clip and then we're going to ask you these types of questions, and not for it to be a script that you're going to follow, but it to be slightly planned. But it's not. You just fucking dial in, you have a chat, and then that's it. That literally goes out live. And so that was a surprise to me when that became obvious.
It's fantastic. It's one of the and what I was going to say, Dave, as you know, I have a story which shows that the BBC didn't actually learn from that mistake, because I went and someone had spoke to us about the possible show a few years ago, and three or four years ago, and I just pitched this idea for like, you know, don't matter now, it's a sports show, and we were doing a footy show. And I got an invite. I got a phone call out of the blue. I live right near where the BBC is in Salford and work right near it. And I just got this, would you like to come and speak to some producers and that? So I remember saying to you, Dave, I cannot believe this. What are we going to do? So Chris turns up there in his fucking Adidas fucking superstar trainers, fucking jeans and a T-shirt, walked into this room, get a badge, Chris Phelps. It says Chris and Age Reality TV, whatever entertainment, some fucking badge or whatever it said. This is on my life. I am sat at a fucking table with the head of the BBC. Everyone's suited up, Dave. And these tables of people, these people from ITV, people who made like Lambert Studio, make Gogglebox, everything. There's fucking about 50 people. And I am sat with this woman just chatting away to her because she moved from London. And we're chatting away, and I didn't even know who she was, Dave. And the next minute, she's only doing the whole thing. I'm telling her where to live in Manchester. We're having a chat about different things. There is no way I should have been on the top table. But for some reason, I don't know who they thought I was. But what we were in there for, Dave, was trying to revamp the BBC Sports Personality of the Year. And she was asking me questions after she did the speech, what I think and everything, and how I would approach it with a podcast and a show. And I'm thinking, holy fuck, what am I doing here? That is one of the big flags. I got a lovely buffet out of it. I remember texting you going, Dave, I am well out of fucking debt for it. I'm just going to blag in it. And I blagged that whole thing. And then they actually had an hour break between the speeches and went, just mingle, guys, get your contacts. This is how everyone works. We know that's how everyone in TV works. And I had a guy approach me saying, would you like to do eSport commentary for me for gaming? Because I was talking about gaming. Never heard from him again, Dave. Never heard from him. But it was the strangest blag I've ever pulled off. I was well out of my depth that day.
I bet there were plenty of other blaggers in there, to be fair.
It was.
Awesome. Awesome, Chris.
It is, Dave. So sorry. Big thank you, mate, as always, for doing this. Big thanks to everyone who's listening, all the chat on Facebook, Chris Today's Reality TV cast. I see it all. It's great because everyone's talking about different shows that we're not even covering. It's so nice, the community. Everyone's just playing nice. Everyone's talking, helping each other find links for different shows. So keep it coming, guys. We do appreciate it. And like I say, I know Maths is coming. We've talked about this My Mum, Your Dad show. It's two episodes, haven't we? I don't know whether we're going to do it, but we sort of said we would do it. I just don't know we're going to fit it in. If Maths takes off like it is, it's a 3 or 4 night commitment, and we probably won't be doing that every night. So we'll see where we end up in the next couple of weeks. And obviously I'm going away, Dave, having my 18th holiday of this year. So, that will throw a spanner for a week at least. But no, big thank you to everyone. If you want to email us, guys, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. And as always, please go over to patreon.com/cdrealitycast. So the roll call of honor for today is, and a big thank you to Danielle, Caroline, Kim, Amanda, Larissa, Helen, Macy, Nicola, Emma, Fiona, Cassie, Megan, Kate, Maggie, Kristen, Zoe, Gillian, Keith, Helen, Chloe, Noreen, Joanna, Libby, Katie, Dee Dee, Susan, Lauren, Lucky Lulu Green, and Ken Gustafson. So thank you so much, guys, for that ever-growing list of Patreons. We really appreciate it. And everyone who supported us over the last few years, honestly, it's so humbling, so nice that you guys while listening to a pair of bellends like me and Dave. We do appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you very much, sir. It's been great. I like I say, I'm quite loving this series and the fact that it is such a nice short one as well. 10 episodes. We'll do 5 podcast episodes. So episodes 5 and 6 coming next. And yeah, hopefully, like Chris said, we don't know when maths, but I don't know why wouldn't you announce the date? It seems weird to me. Must be stuck in editing or something like that. But we'll definitely get on to maths and finish off the season. We won't do a Love is Blind where we wait for a couple of months before finishing it off. So thank you very much, Chris. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.